All right, Luke chapter 8 here this evening. Luke chapter 8. Appreciate McIntosh's opening their home for us as Bob and Alani are kind of in and out here the next couple weeks, it sounds like at least. Luke chapter 8. I want for us to notice here, again, another take heed here this evening. Luke chapter 8. Notice verses 4 and following here. And of course, this is a very familiar passage to many as far as the sowing of the seed, the parable of the sower, the sower and the seed. Luke chapter 8, verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Right? So hang on to that statement. We're going to expand that out here in just a moment as Jesus teaches here. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." Now, pause there for a moment. This sounds like Jesus is trying to keep information from them. In a way, he is. Why? Because they don't really want to hear it. This goes back to Isaiah, what Isaiah said to, or the Lord said to Isaiah, I should say, you know, prophesy, but you know they're going to be dull of hearing. You know, they're going to have ears that won't hear and hearts that won't believe and all those things. All right. So again, he's teaching a parable so that somebody who wants to know will get the information, and those who don't, it'll be withheld from them. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. All right, so is there any fruit at this point? Lasting fruit. All right, so no fruit. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. So notice the heart is prepared here to receive the word, an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So notice the key there. The heart is honest and good, but then they're also doing something about what they hear. So that's very significant because when you do something, you remember it, right? Notice they bring forth fruit with patience. Another one of the Gospels, it says 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, here's notice verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. All right, so there's our take heed phrase again. But notice we're to take heed how we hear. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. All right, so if I take heed how I hear, what's the promise that Jesus gives here? What is the promise that will follow if I take heed to be careful how I hear to the word of God, listen to the word of God? What's the promise that comes from that? Okay, bring forth fruit. Also in verse 18, what's the promise? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Notice, I have something, but if I take heed how I hear, I'm going to continue to receive more. In fact, if you read the book of Proverbs, that's exactly what it says. A man of understanding will get understanding. Now, wait a minute. That almost sounds like a given. No. Somebody who has a heart of wisdom and a desire for understanding will get understanding and wisdom. All right, so notice also Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. All right, so we're to take heed how we hear. We're also going to see tonight that we're to take heed to what we hear. All right, so Luke chapter 19, verse 47 and 48. All right, here we see again another aspect of Christ's teaching ministry. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. All right, they heard the same things, but they didn't want it, right? Verse 48, and could not find what they might do. Notice this last phrase. For all the people were what? Very attentive to hear him. Notice they weren't just listening. They were very attentive. Now, I'm going to confess my sins from time to time here. I have a condition called selective hearing. I hear part of what she says, but I don't hear all of what she says. Probably most of our disagreements come from me hearing part of the conversation, but not all of it. I'm not paying attention. I'm not taking heed to how I hear. Any other men want to stand with me in that confession tonight? Anyway, notice with me Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So we're to take heed how we hear. And it says again, the people listened very attentively. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Here's this other aspect I want for us to consider here tonight. Let's look at verse 21 on down into verse 24 to give us the context of the passage here. Mark 4, 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So notice that phrase. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed, notice not how ye hear, but what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, and unto you that hear shall more be given. You don't need to turn there, but seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to the churches, Jesus says, let him that hath ears to hear take heed to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Notice, as we think about this, we are to be careful of what we hear. We are to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, as we consider the various aspects of this, I want you to notice, first of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Why is it so important for us to take heed to what we hear? And let me just say, I believe there's a lot of people in our modern day are not taking heed to the hearing of the Word of God. And I'll talk another passage, or we'll look at another passage here in a moment on that. But that the reason why I say that is because there are many who could care less about it's hit and miss as far as church. Now, I understand there's things that come up, as far as a midweek service or something like that. But for the majority of so-called Christians today, there is no desire to even hear what the Bible has to say. That's very significant. It's very important for us to look at that because all of us can get to that point in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now pause there for a moment. As a young pastor, just getting out of Bible college, I was always worried about, do I have great oratory skills as I preach? I want to amaze people with my delivery and all those things. But you know what? As I studied more about the Apostle Paul, there's times when he preached in fear and trembling. It wasn't his great oratory skills. In fact, from what I've read of the Apostle Paul, he was probably shorter than I am. He had a homely look. He had a hooked nose. And, he had all one eyebrow, I guess. He wasn't really anything great to look at. The Apostle Paul did not have great oratory skill. Notice again, he says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I heard of a preacher saying that while you're waiting for the Holy Spirit, I'll lead 500 people to the Lord. I'm not sure that's the case then. Notice the Holy Spirit of God was in his witnessing and his presentation of the gospel. Verse 6. But you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Notice the emphasis on the word of God here in this passage. In much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. All right. How many people fall away? Living the Christian life is getting too tough. We have no idea what they experienced in the first century. You look in Hebrews, even the spoiling of their goods. They would have soldiers come into their house and just haul everything away and move you out of your house and all those things just because you're a believer. Notice, but they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. All right, so it's important to receive the word of God, even if it means affliction. so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Notice again the emphasis on the word of the Lord here in this passage. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So notice their faith and the confidence in the word of God spread out from their place here. Chapter 2, verse 13 then. Chapter 2, verse 13. Actually, let's look at verse 11 through 13. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now I know I go too fast sometimes, and people that aren't familiar with the Bible have trouble getting there before I'm finished reading the passage. But there's a reason why I want people to see it, if they can get to it in time at least. There's a reason why I want people to see the passage, because I want people to understand it's not Pastor Dan's words, it's not my philosophies, it's what the Bible says. I read an account of a man who went to one of the mega churches. You know, if I said the pastor's name, you would probably recognize who it is. But he went to just observe. And the first thing he observed as he was going into this mega church, this huge church, was that nobody carried a Bible. Okay, so he took note of that. But then once he got into the service, he understood why. First of all, they put the Bible up on the screen, which, you know, there's not anything wrong with that necessarily. But what he observed was the pastor would quote from 5, 6, 7 different quote-unquote versions of the English Bible. People couldn't follow along. We just heard a conversation here recently. You know, somebody was having trouble following on because the Bibles read differently. So again, I want you to understand what I'm sharing. I want you to see is it's what God says. All right, so it's something it's not my message, it's from God. Notice also Hebrews chapter 4. So what is important for us to have in place that enables us to hear the way Christ wants us to hear? Take heed how and to what you hear. Notice Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. He's talking about, like for example, verse 15 of chapter 3. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And he used the illustration here of Israel, who did not enter into the promised land, the place of rest. Notice there's a promise of rest, and if you should seem to come short of it. Notice here verse 2 now. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, I've used this illustration before, but somebody can sit side by side in church. One person gets something and the other person doesn't. It's the same sermon. What's the difference? Here's the difference right here. The word preached has to be mixed with faith in the heart of the one that's receiving it. Drop over to chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Notice here, as I believe it's the Apostle Paul, the more I've studied this out, some have suggested other men, but it really doesn't matter. But he's talking about Melchizedek in verse 10. Of course, that's an Old Testament picture or type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are what? What's the Bible say? Dull of hearing. All right, so a lot of people are quick to talk about dull preaching, but the Bible actually talks also about dull hearing. You know, even a quote-unquote a boring preacher, I can get something out of it if I listen carefully. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Going back to the first basics, Carlos, you'd be offended if in school all of a sudden they wanted you to start quoting your ABCs, right? Why? Because Carlos is able to go way beyond that. Huh. I hope, right? Okay, all right. Just making sure, right? But notice here, the writer of Hebrews is saying that the Hebrews, the recipients of the book of Hebrews are saying, You know, you're having to go back to the very basic principles all over again. You know, the 1, 2, 3s and the ABCs of Christianity. The end of verse 12, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Deborah, you don't take a milk bottle to school, do you? I hope not at 10, right? Notice again, the progression. There's growth, there's spiritual growth. You think about a Christian coming to church carrying a baby bottle. But yet there's a lot of Christians like that today. You know, feed me, feed me, feed me, fulfill my demands. You notice here again, they need milk and not strong meat. Let me give you what one preacher, a pastor friend of ours years ago, said as he was studying out this passage. It's something I never thought about. What is milk? It is pre-digested food. Now, I love milk. I just don't buy it as much here since it's about $2 more than in Texas, and that was even higher than Iowa. But I love milk, but I don't go to the refrigerator and grab a gallon jug of grass. I go to the refrigerator expecting milk. What happens? That cow eats the grass and turns it into milk, something that I enjoy. Milk is pre-digested food. Notice here verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So again, this is all related to being dull of hearing. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, there's a lot of people who need babysitting, even in the church. You know, sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the most attention, as they say. You know, there's times when somebody is so immature spiritually after they've been saved for years, they still need and require a lot of attention. I believe that's one of the basic principles that he's talking about here. After time, we should be able to teach others also because of what we have received. So again, we're talking about not being dull of hearing, being careful of how we hear. One more New Testament passage, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21 and following. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, how many of you know what naughtiness is? Every parent knows what naughtiness is because that's what you try to correct out of your children, right? Now, superfluity simply means overflowing. I don't believe we need a new Bible. We need an understanding of the English language and so on, the Spanish, whatever. Notice here, superfluity, overflowing naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, or taking heed how we hear, which is able to save your souls. All right, so we're talking about an implanted seed of the word of God in our hearts. But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right, so somebody who sits in church and simply hears and doesn't decide how they're going to put it to practice has deceived themselves. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was original with my dad or who, but I've heard preachers over the years talk about people who sit, they soak, and they sour. You think about a sponge, a picture of a sponge. If a sponge sits and soaks too long, what happens to it? It begins to stink. As you think about this, if we sit and soak in the Word of God and we don't ever try to put it to practice, we become sour Christians. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, Revelation talks about a blessing for hearing the book of Revelation, the preaching of that. But there's also a blessing for doing something with the word of God. And the picture here is looking in a mirror. All right, so the mirror of the Word of God. What does a mirror do in the morning? Shows us what needs to change, right? You know, shaving the whiskers off, you know, removing the boogers off the side of your face, whatever. It might, you know, hairs that are sticking straight up, whatever. You know, when you look in the mirror, you take a look to see what needs to change. What he's saying here is it's like us looking in the mirror. Don't worry about it. And you're a forgetful hearer. All right, so we hear it, but we don't ever do anything about it. Now, as we close, notice with me Nehemiah chapter 8. The Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. You head over there, and I want to read for you a couple of verses in Amos. All right, so Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to read a couple of verses in Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Right, listen carefully while you're heading over to Nehemiah there. Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And what is very interesting is the sentence continues there. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And what I think is interesting in this modern day, people are looking for the Bible. I'm thankful I have the Bible. I don't have to wonder if I have all of the Bible. But people are looking, first of all, for missing parts of the Bible. That's why I believe it's important for us to be careful which Bible, English translation we use. But as you think about this also, though, it says, they will run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What I think is interesting is we have biblical illiteracy in our modern day that is unheard of in our history. You know, we have young people who don't even know the story of David and Goliath. I mean, those are things that children used to grow up hearing and knowing. We don't know the Bible anymore. But it's interesting. Thousands of people will crowd into these mega churches or into these super conferences and all that. But we still have Bible illiteracy. There's a famine of the Word of God. All right, Nehemiah chapter 8 as we close here tonight. Here's an example of how we are to hear the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the Watergate. So this, we could say this is a revival at Watergate, if you know anything about history and Nixon and all that. But they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law. Notice, they are wanting it. To bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Right? So that's the Old Testament that they had. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Is this preacher ever going to be done? I mean, you notice this, probably 3 hours they stood listening to the word of God read. Before men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. All right, so they were listening carefully. And as the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, now I don't believe that means he stood on the pulpit, but there was a raised platform with a teaching stand or whatever, so that was all considered a pulpit, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood several individuals. I'll let you read those names. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book on the sight, or in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Anywhere from 3 to 5 hours they stood listening to the word of God. Now, I guess that would keep us awake if we're standing up there. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And again, all these Levites that were assisting him, notice the Levites here at the end of verse 7, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So that's why it's important to have teaching of the word of God. So they read the book in the law, read in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's my responsibility as a pastor. To show you what God has given me to help you understand how to put this book into practice. So tonight I want for us to take heed, not just how we hear, but what we hear. I remember there's times when I would work 12, 13-hour days, and I almost went to the back to stand up just because you work that many hours, physical labor. It's hard once you sit down. Boy, I tell you, it's hard to keep the eyelids open. But that's when you have to listen on purpose. But not only hearing it, but what are we going to do about it? Take heed what, first of all? How we hear. And what we hear. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to study your word here tonight. Lord, just thank you for this book that you've given to us. Father, how we take that for granted. So many do not have their own copy of the Bible around our world. So, Father, thank you for this privilege. Lord, I think about the fact that I have 4 copies of the Bible in English. We're such a blessed people here in America. Father, I pray that you'd help us to take heed how we hear. But also in this modern day, I pray that you'd help us also to take heed to what we hear. Help us to hear your word and put it to practice, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.